Whenever I show up by myself, I am little more than a religious professional doing a job. But when I show up with my wife, I am an actual human being. And so this morning I am an actual human being with my wife, Pat. And I've asked her to join me and to help us think out loud a little bit about Christmas. So Pat, if you will come. And if we could use one of these mics down here, the yellow one. Alrighty, I'll give that one to you. And she's going to lead us in some Christmas memories. And it's going to take a little bit of participation on your end of things. And so, are you ready? You look ready. My wife, Pat.
Okay. Christmas morning at our house when I grew up was kind of fun. Mom always made it, full of surprises. In fact, we could not go to the living room because we knew we would spoil the surprise if we did. So we had to get around to the kitchen. So I carried that on with our kids, and they knew. They didn't dare look in the living room or they would spoil their surprise. And so they had to come to the kitchen, and we would drag out breakfast and give them their stockings, but they had to wait. And, of course, it was fun to watch the anticipation grow. And nowadays, you know, at our age, we don't plan Christmases anymore. You know that, right? You flex with whoever else is planning Christmas, and you just go with the flow. And that can be kind of fun. You don't have to do all that planning anymore. You can just, let other people be in charge. Like this year, our kids are going to have Christmas at home so the grandkids can open them up, and three of the four are coming to our house on the day after Christmas, and that's okay. So we're flying out to visit the fourth son in Denver who can't come. We'll be there, and we're going to be flying home on Christmas Day. So we flex when we get older. But
would you like to, interpret older there?
Whenever your kids start getting in charge, when they've grown up, they're adults, they have families, that's when you start flexing. but anyway, Christmas, we always looked forward. The kids looked forward to that surprise. Actually, I was surprised when they became adults and I didn't have things open under the tree and they came home from Christmas. And they said, "Can we look in the living room?" And I said, "Sure." And they were a little bit disappointed. So now I, when they are home, I try to see what we can do to bring back that special. But anyway, they liked that. So what I'd like to know is, what kind of tradition or what did you do, a couple of you? Would you volunteer and say, how did you make Christmas morning special for your kids or your family?
All right, we need a couple volunteers here.
Raise your hand and I'll bring the mic to you.
Are you hearing me? Okay.
Yeah.
We would, because we didn't have a lot of money, we would wait till Christmas Eve and buy all the toys at this certain store. And we'd get our tree, and the kids would go to bed. It wasn't Christmas. And then while they're sleeping, we would wrap all the gifts, decorate the tree, so when they came down, it was Christmas.
Nate.
Okay. Anyone else want to share? That reminds me of a tradition I used to have, wrapping all the presents on Christmas Eve and being up in the wee hours of the morning. That is not a good tradition.
Amen.
Anyone else want to share? Okay, well then I'll just keep talking if you don't share, but we'd really, really like to hear from you. So you think about it. Okay, you have something.
Our town in southern Pennsylvania was begun by someone from England. And therefore, we had carol singers all dressed up in the costumes of 1840s, Charles Dickens period. And they would come around. First of all, they met in the community hall. And then, afterwards, they would go around to the streets. They usually arrived at our house, which is at the end of the road. about midnight. And, of course, I might be in bed, but I looked out the window, and there they were singing for us. And it was wonderful. And they sang some of the English carols that I never heard of before, and, of course, many of the others. And just a tradition that's still going on. It's been going on for, well, maybe 75 years.
Thank you for sharing. Traditions are kind of fun, and that would be a special one. Christmas Eve at our house, we kind of began a tradition that we didn't even know. Actually, our kids kind of did it. Dr. Hendricks, I remember when Dave was in seminary, said you should make Christmas very special for your children. You want them to understand the true meaning. So from the time they're little, I think he was the one who suggested maybe record, you know, things of Christmas Eve. So we would plan Christmas Eve special for the kids. And we wanted to make the true meaning of Christmas important to them. So when they were little, we would record their little voices, and if they did, they were doing something in Sunday school or church, we would have them record that and say that, you know, for us, special, just for us. But then as they got a little older, they wanted to plan the Christmas program. So with the family, and the cousins would gather together, so they would plan the program. They would always have the, you know, Santa and the reindeer, but then they would come out with but the real meaning of Christmas is, and then they would enact the Christmas story. And as they got a little older, as some of them became teenagers, they would write the stories for the little ones in the family. So we as adults really started missing that when the kids started leaving, because we didn't have the kids to perform for us on Christmas Eve, but they made it very special. And so tell me, how did you pass the real meaning of Christmas onto your kids, and how did they then imbibe that? What were some of the things that you did to pass the real meaning of Christmas onto your kids?
How you pass the real meaning of Christmas on?
Well, I'm just a guest here, but I'm appreciative of the words that have been said. But we had five children, and when our children began to read, the first thing we did on Christmas Day, before any gifts were open, was to read the scripture about the birth of our Savior. And as the children got older, they had their turns taking the scriptures and reading the same portion of scripture. And then we had grandchildren. And we got halfway through all of our grandchildren, and we've already, or all the way through our grandchildren, but halfway through our great-grandchildren, and everything, before any gift is open, we explained, my husband is a preacher, of course, he explained all the scripture that the children didn't understand, but that was the first thing, that Christ comes first in Christmas always, and the gifts can wait until after we hear the wonderful news of the Lord's birth, dying on the cross for our sins, and resurrection, and then coming for us, and that when we die, we go to heaven to be with Him, and we can really thank Him then and praise Him.
Okay. Someone else.
Amen. Someone else want to share while I'm back here? Thank you for sharing that. I have a son-in-law whose family would quote the Christmas story every morning, every Christmas. They had memorized it together, so all of the kids could say it. Sometimes Christmas has some sad memories, and sometimes you don't even know. I remember, you know, my family, Christmas was always exciting, but I got married, and I could tell my husband would get depressed at Christmas. It was kind of funny, because, you know, I could just sense that feeling coming over. And then I began to learn about the Christmas that he grew up. It was kind of like the Christmas maybe one of you were talking about. They didn't have a Christmas tree until the Christmas program at church, and then their family would get the tree because they couldn't afford to buy a tree. And he would usually get a new toothbrush for Christmas, so he'd hate it if friends would ask him what he got for Christmas, because it wasn't too, you know, popular to say you got a new toothbrush. And So anyway, that kind of, his mother, though, passed to him the most important thing. She loved the Lord and raised him to love the Lord. So that was the most important gift that she had to give him. But, you know, sometimes kids, they don't look at those things when you're young. And so anyway, it was just something that I learned that, you know, not everyone has, you know, maybe the Christmas with all the presents. So how about some of you? Maybe there's someone here that would like to share. Maybe you learned something about a spouse's Christmas you didn't expect, or maybe you had an experience that you went through or you learned from someone else that we need to be thinking of other people at Christmas. Anybody want to share?
As I was growing up in Indiana, on Christmas Eve we got together with my mom's family, and I remember receiving what we received as grandkids was a pair of socks. We'd have Christmas morning at our family, and then we'd go to Crawfordsville and meet with my dad's family, and there was always a big gift there. And I remember one time asking my mom, why was it just a pair of socks? And she said, how many cousins do you have? Poor grandma, I don't know how she even bought one pair of socks. But it was a joyful time. And the one song we always sang at my Grandpa Sparks, who was a Primitive Baptist preacher, we always sang on Christmas Eve, Amazing Grace.
That's neat. Thank God. Is neat. That's a neat one. Maybe we ought to start that wherever we are. Singing Amazing Grace. That's beautiful. Well, the funniest memory we had was the year that we were moving, and we were building a house. We came to Cedarville, and we, with four kids, the oldest one a sophomore in high school, they take more space, you know, when they're bigger. We had to move into a very small two-bedroom apartment. And so we didn't have room for a Christmas tree, but I let the kids vote. You want the kitchen table or the Christmas tree? Well, you know what they voted for. So we took the table down, and we ate around the Christmas tree every night on a tablecloth spread around the tree. And so that was fun. But Christmas morning, we still couldn't get into our new house. We were supposed to be there by Christmas, but you know how building goes. And we weren't going to get in, and so we were in the apartment. And but we thought, we'll make it special anyway. So after the kids went to sleep, Dave took all the presents and took them to the new house. So the neighbors saw him, and they were going, ho, ho, because, you know, he looked like Santa Claus, and he's hauling the Christmas tree and the presents. The kids didn't know about that. But the next morning, we thought, well, we'll, you know, make this very special, emphasize the true meaning of Christmas, you know, like you say, like we always wanted to do, you know, anyway, as around breakfast table. So anyway, we had a bale of hay, and Dave and I dressed up as Mary and Joseph. We had the baby in the manger, and the kids knew, you know, even that small place, they couldn't come out till we said they could. So we said, okay, when we start singing, Oh Come All Ye Faithful, you can come out. And there we are, Mary and Joseph singing, Oh Come All Ye Faithful. And our kids were not very faithful. They looked at us and they said, where's the tree? Where's the presents? So it took a few minutes to get past that before we could do the Christmas story. And then we did go to the new house and had fun. But it is the most memorable Christmas, they will have to admit.
Well, we've talked a little bit about one word, and I should like to emphasize it. Surprises. Josh sang, you know, a song about Joseph's surprising feelings. Christmas is a time of surprise. Perhaps even now at your place there are some presents wrapped and under a tree, and the recipient doesn't know what's in that. It's a surprise. At many homes, there are off-limit closets, off-limit rooms. Children are not allowed to go there at this time of the year, and they know that, and you know that, because there are surprises. As you get a little older, sometimes there are some surprising plans and trips, events and meals, and you're just kind of making all of those plans and keeping them a secret and as long as you can until they need to be revealed. Christmas is a time for surprises. That's not really all that unusual when you think that the Christmas story, the original Christmas story, was a story of tremendous surprises. I'm glad you know that story. I'm going to presume on your knowledge of that story. I think you will agree with me that we are thinking about a surprising, unexpected pregnancy. An unexpected pregnancy. When the angel Gabriel comes to the Virgin Mary and informs her, "You are going to have a son. You will call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins." Her response is, "How can this be, seeing I do not know a man?" She is stunned, to say the least, at that news. She submits to that news and the will of the Lord, but it is a shock to her system. That surprising pregnancy was also a shock to Joseph, as we heard sung. Joseph was so stunned, so kind of blown away by the news, that he was even considering divorce, separating, putting Mary away privately, because he couldn't understand, he couldn't compute, it made no sense. And her story about how she had become pregnant was unbelievable. It was a surprise. A surprising pregnancy to Mary and to Joseph. It was a surprising birthplace or birthing room, if you will. As Pat indicated, we have four children, and I have lived through the dad's den to the labor room to the delivery room as the hospital practices have changed over those years while we were having our children. No one would have guessed, however, that this little one would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. 5 miles from the capital city. You would have thought that a king would have been born in the capital city. Instead, he's born in a little ville like Cedarville and smaller. Even though it was predicted in the Old Testament that the Messiah would be born and come out of Bethlehem of Judah, very few people seem to know that. And even when the wise men from the east showed up in the capital city expecting to find the Jewish king born there, and they popped their question, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews?" And they were stunned. Much less in some kind of a stable or a cave or a lean-to, or in a little town so glutted with visitors there was no room for them in the local motel. It was a surprise. It was totally unexpected. Who would have dreamed that kind of a pregnancy, that kind of a birthing place, or that kind of initial visitors? Shepherds, wise men. The shepherds, of course, were Jewish. The wise men, of course, were Gentile. The shepherds were the lowest class of society. Untrusted people. Folks that others avoided. The Gentiles were astrologers who studied the stars and who had been traveling for approximately 2 to 3 months to arrive in Judea at that moment. It had to be a shock to Mary and Joseph when shepherds arrived and some little time later astrologers, Gentile astrologers from the east arrived, speaking of a star that they had seen in the east and that had guided them to this little boy. The whole thing is a story of surprise, from the pregnancy to the birthplace to the initial visitors who showed up early on. You know, when God is involved in something, you have to learn to expect the unexpected. God is not limited by our norms, by our traditions, by our thinking, by the way we think things ought to be. God saves the most unexpected of people. I think of the Apostle Paul, originally named Saul. He was on his way to persecute and to kill believers, to throw them into prison. This arch persecutor is met by our Lord on the road to Damascus, and he becomes the famous preacher of the Christian faith. But no one believed it initially. Ananias, I want you to go and I want you to lay hands on Saul. Oh, no. He has come to Damascus. You know, he's going to arrest us all. You got the wrong guy. No. And even sometime later, as Paul or Saul tries to join the church in Jerusalem, they are saying, no way, you know, we don't trust him. God doesn't save people like that. God saves the most unexpected of people. People who are lost. People who are opposed. People who have questions. God works in the unexpected way. In fact, maybe you are here today saying, there is no way that God would ever save me, given my life, given my track record, given my questions. And yet the true truth is, my friends, when we come honestly to God, and we admit our sin and our need, and we call with sincerity upon Him to forgive us and to cleanse us and to make us one of His own, the God of the unexpected saves the most sinful among us. So when you think of Christmas, and you think of that original story, and you think about life and you think about God, remember that when God is involved, we must learn to expect the unexpected. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for invading our human family, breaking in and breaking forth. Thank you, Father, that you love us, and that is a surprise, and that you gave us your Son, who in turn gave us his life. And surprise, we have a wonderful future in heaven because of our Savior. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.